I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is August 29th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today is part two, the conclusion of David Julian's second email. His email continues. I had told David, the Bible told me to stone to death adulterers, homosexuals, Sabbath violators, and other heinous criminals. I was also told to burn witches and astrologers. David responded, the Bible didn't tell you that. David, what did you do? Write your own Bible? I'm not even going to provide the verses because it is clear that you are operating somewhere out beyond the Twilight Zone. Denial, it's your only option. David continues, the Bible says that the 613 commandments of the old primitive Mosaic law was replaced by Christ's new commands in the New Testament. David, where does it say that? Besides, I already provided a biblical reference that proves you are wrong. That was the one where Jesus said that not one tittle of the old law would pass away until he came into his kingdom. David continues, we're supposed to love God, love one another, love our neighbors, and even love our enemies, and most especially have mercy on the unbelievers, and forgive those who curse us and despitefully use us for their own selfish purposes. David, once again, you ignore the 90% of the Bible that disagrees with your claim. What that does prove is that your Bible can't start a new verse without contradicting itself. He said, but you have to keep bringing up our primitive history as if your great-great-great-great-grandfather's world is the same world we live in today. David, what a pathetic cop-out. You cannot simply erase your gruesome, bloody history and claim King's X. Nor can you try to minimize it by claiming a statute of limitations, because much of your terrible history is quite recent, and in fact, continues on in today's world. Shutting your eyes, covering your ears, closing your mouth, and going into denial does not make it magically go away. You people have always been barbaric savages. You still are slightly less barbaric savages, and likely always will be ignorant, arrogant, illogical ghost worshippers. You wish people would not bring up your brutal, inhuman past. We wish that you people had never caused it in the first place. David says, I don't have to rationalize disobeying God. God, in his infinite wisdom, gave me the opportunity to make some limited choices, and he already knew I would make some bad ones. David, if God already knew what choices you would make because of his omniscience, how do you figure you have free will? Since you cannot change what God already knows is going to happen, you only have the illusion that you have free will. No Christian who believes that God is all-knowing could possibly believe in free will unless they do not understand the concept. David said, but he also gave me the intelligence to learn from those mistakes. David, but some people did not. Why did God favor you and not others? Why is your God so unfair? He said, to repent, turn away from them, and to make more godly choices. And he gave me the assurance that he would forgive me in the end. David, so you can commit the most horrendous crimes, but as long as you say you are sorry and you believe in the right ghost, you still get the big cabana in the sky. With such a belief, what keeps you from killing, stealing, and doing anything you want? David said, he made you the same offer. You turned him down. He didn't turn you down. David, that's because I don't respond well to threats. You prove that most people do. David says, still more anti-religious propaganda. David, how do you figure that the Bible is anti-religious propaganda? He said, you have never owned a slave, and I suspect you have never met anyone who has. David, obviously no one living today in America has owned a slave, nor has met anyone who did. So your statement is ignorant. But if you go back in time and not very far, and back to the Bible Belt, the Deep South, you will find plenty of people who did. Oh, sorry, I forgot. We are ignoring your history. David said, when the economics of the South became more important than the actual teachings of the Bible, some people in history misused it to try to justify slavery. Wrong, David. They didn't have to misuse the Bible to justify slavery. The Bible's support of slavery is unambiguous. Your statement defines delusion. You have convinced yourself that words can mean anything you say they mean, and they never mean what they say, but what you say they mean. David said, leaving out the significance of the fact that in Israel you had to sell yourself into slavery to pay off your debts, and that anyone so indentured had to be released after 7 years, and that there were strict laws about mistreating them, what is significant is that in the New Testament, slave owners were told to treat their slaves as if they were Christ himself, and the slaves were told to treat their owners the same way. David, you should go back to my second email to you. In it, I told you that no sane human tries to defend slavery. However, there are people who do, and they are always Christians trying to defend their Bible. If anyone doubted the accuracy of my claim, your statement above proves that I was telling the truth. And it proves that you are one of those vile people who attempt to defend one of the most hideous practices that has ever existed on earth, and you do it in a desperate attempt to vindicate the actions of your God. When your beliefs force you to a level inhabited by the lowest members of our society, it should make you reconsider how you got there. I would comment at this point that your blindness to your own scientific ignorance, historical reinterpretations, and moral depravities is truly stunning. Unfortunately, it is so common among you ghost worshippers as to no longer be shocking. And that is the saddest part. David says, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. David, here is what God should have said. You can find it in the book of Neo, chapter 5, verse 17. Slaves, you are free. Even I have more moral character than the God you worship. Then again, I have never met anyone who didn't. David said, the Bible is not, nor was it ever meant to be, some kind of scientific treatise. David, how do you know what God intended? You don't. You believe this is the inerrant word of God. Therefore, there should be no scientific errors. So your rationalization fails. David continues, it contains stories, poems, allegories, parables, images, and types. The Bible said the sun appeared to stop. In the emotional heat of battle, it is not uncommon for things to appear to go into slow motion. David, what did I just say a little while back? Words mean anything you need them to mean, and now you go out of your way to prove my point. No version of the Bible says appear to stop. You are making that up to escape the unescapable. Nor does the Bible refer to this story as a poem, allegory, parable, or anything other than an eyewitness account by Joshua himself. For a Christian, your knowledge of the Bible is about what I would expect from a Hindu. David said, it also says that the sun rises, meaning, of course, that it appears to rise. David, you did it again. You are interpreting the words the way you need them to be interpreted. You can't just say, meaning, of course, as if that is proof. You can't just change or insert words so that the meaning conforms to what you need it to mean. But since words never say what you need them to say, what choice do you have? Dishonesty is your only option, and you employ it liberally. I had said to David, "Our voids are filled with science." David replied, "No, your voids are filled with the belief that there is a natural, non-God answer to life's most important questions." "That is true, David, but the crucial point is that our beliefs are based on provable evidence. Your beliefs are based on ancient magical scriptures, scriptures that have been proven false by many of the discoveries of science." David said, "Science, specifically the scientific method, is just one way of looking at empirical phenomena. And David, it is the only way that has ever been proven to work." He said, "It's just like using geometry. An infinite number of points is a line." "David, that is only true for lines of infinite length. It is false for lines with endpoints." David continues, "An infinite number of lines is a plane, and an infinite number of planes is a solid object." "David, this is what happens when you get your science education from Bible study. Garbage. Those definitions weren't even close. If you don't buy a dictionary, I'm going to send you one myself, for free." David said, "I can show you all kinds of solid objects, but I can never show you a single point. A point doesn't really exist, but you can still use it to build a box." "David, what kind of box would you build with an object that doesn't really exist?" "I have never seen one of those. But in your imaginary world, I doubt that there is anything that you can't wish into existence." David said, "Does a line exist?" "Of course not." "David, when you write stuff like that, you really make me reevaluate the purpose of devoting this much time to someone like you. And then I feel the erection that I get every time I demolish one of your insane comments, and it reminds me why I do it." David said, "An infinite number of non-existent points is a non-existent line." "David, if those things are non-existent, how can you determine that there are an infinite number of them?" David says, "Does a plane exist?" "Of course not. An infinite number of non-existent lines is a non-existent plane." "Now here's the hard one. Does the solid object really exist?" "Of course it does. You can see it, feel it, measure it, etc." "David, how do you know that what you see, feel, and measure is real? How do you know that you aren't dreaming it? How do you know that you even exist outside the imagination of some celestial alien?" "David, you don't." David says, "Geometry isn't reality." "David, but the Bible is? Could you possibly be any more screwed up in the head than you already are?" David says, "It's just one way of looking at solid objects. Now let's use geometry to measure the air." "Oops, air isn't a solid object, so it contains no points, lines, planes, or solid objects. You're going to have to use a different way of observing the reality of air." "David, a third grader could shred your argument. How do you define a solid object? If you took out all the space between the atoms in your body, there wouldn't be enough matter to fill an ant's butt. You have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I now realize that religion is the perfect place for you. There is no way a mind as feeble as the one that occupies the space between your ears could possibly be useful in anything but an imaginary world." David said, "One of the first things every scientist learns is that when measuring a completely new phenomena, he will have to determine if any measurement is possible, what to use as a measurement, and a way of measuring it." "David, how could you possibly know what are the first things that every scientist learns? You don't display any hint of ever having encountered science, or for that matter, rational thought." David said, "If he can't do those three things, it will be like using geometry to measure the air. No matter what he does, some people will deny that air exists. Others will claim his measurements are just made up. Still others will demand that he use traditional measurements, and if he can't, they will call him delusional." "David, that should sound very familiar to you." He said, "Eventually it will become apparent that the air really exists. Naturalists will make all kinds of claims. It fell out of the sky. It was here all along. Hey, David, isn't that your argument? God has always existed. Are you sure you should be criticizing arguments that mirror your own? David said, it's just an illusion. My point is and was, the heir didn't get here for no apparent reason. We did not arrive here because the air needed something to breathe it, or the water needed something to drink it, or the earth needed something to stand on it. The trees needed something to eat their fruit. Every truthful inventor will tell you, there are no real inventions. There are only discoveries of what has been here all along. Wrong, David. Television was never here. David said, if you are really being honest about your atheism. David, honesty is as alien to you as quality family time is to Mel Gibson. He continues, then you know there is no more empirical evidence for the existence of love than there is for the existence of God. David, there is no evidence for the existence of God. I believe there is plenty evidence for love. It is called children. David said, in fact, some Christians claim that God is love. David, that line works until you read the Bible. He said, I think love is just another one of those things that are not empirically observable. Well, David, that all depends on how you define it. David said, the term New Atheist is not a derogatory term. David, as used by Christians, yes it is. David said, it just distinguishes them from the traditional atheists and agnostics. The Civil War did not take away my slaves or yours. You never owned any, and neither did I. David, you are doing it again. You are trying to erase your barbaric history by making an irrelevant statement. Time to Google logical fallacies again and read Non Sequitur. He said, the fact is, the abolitionist movement was started by Christians in the northern states. It's all spelled out in the Battle Hymn of the Republic. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Yes, David, Christians did lead the fight against slavery, against other Christians. You left that part out. David said, my commandments are to love, and they are not and never were my barbaric practices. David, you know very well we are talking about Christianity. You are trying to avoid the horrible past history of Christianity by claiming you are not a part of it. That is irrelevant and adds another logical fallacy to your growing list of illogical arguments. David said, but these barbaric practices do exist in the modern world in primitive third world countries, and especially in countries that espouse atheism as their official policy. Nice try, David. No country espouses atheism as its official policy. That is why you didn't name one, because no such country exists. And these barbaric practices, witch-burning, torturing children possessed by demons, and killing homosexuals, are all justified by one source and one source alone, your Bible. David said, it is of no small significance that a very large number of traditional atheists and some of the new atheists are or were Nazis, fascists, and Marxist communists. David, all you have are baseless accusations with no supporting evidence. Hitler was a devout Catholic, as much as you wish that were not true. Others, like Stalin, were atheists. Evil comes in all flavors. The difference is that religion provides extra reasons to be evil, and we already have enough evil without adding religion to the mix. Now David quotes from Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Naturalism, action or thought based only on natural desires and instincts. A theory denying that an event or object has a supernatural significance. And it goes on. David, it's nice to see you took my advice and borrowed a dictionary. Obviously, you think this definition supports your position that atheism is related to naturalism. Reading comprehension is apparently not your strong suit. He said, what does evolutionary theory have to do with religion? David, from a scientific perspective, nothing. From a religious perspective, everything. Because it proves that humans and all other animals were not created at the same time from magic mud. David said, the only people who deny evolution are a virtual handful of wooden literal fundamentalists. David, your connection to reality is tenuous at best. The percentage of Americans who deny evolution is over 60%. Only a believer could see that as a virtual handful. Sometimes the crap you come up with is beyond stunning. If it wasn't for the fact that shredding your arguments is so much fun, I would never waste so much time. David continues, "It's just another red herring tossed out there by anti-religionist propagandists to distract their followers from recognizing that 40% of the Nobel laureates in science have no conflict between science and religion." Yes, David, but 60% do. You ignore facts the same way you ignore anything in the Bible that causes embarrassment. You have to be blinder than a cave rat. You said red herring? I really find it amusing when irrationals try to show off by using the logical lingo. It's amusing because since they don't know how to apply the terms, they always use them out of context. David said, "There are no areas of disagreement, except in the minds of anti-religious propagandists." Well, David, I would say that science has a pretty big disagreement with Jesus about his claim of walking on water and being born of a virgin. But you see nothing. A cave rat. Yep, that pretty much sums it up. David said, "And when your scientific cosmologists come up with anything more than guesses, we'll all be waiting for what can be proven to be true." Why, David? You didn't need any proof to form your beliefs. All you needed was a vicious threat from the spirit world, and you were all in. Now you want proof? We've already seen how you handle proof. With denial. Providing evidence to ghost worshippers is nothing more than a waste of time, because beliefs that were not arrived at by reason cannot be affected by reason. David said, "I don't believe in a magical ghost, and I don't know anyone who does." David, you're an atheist. I knew you would come out of the closet. You just needed a little nudging. What's even more surprising is that you don't even know anyone who is not an atheist. I wish I could say that. David said, "There are many of us who believe in a living God for only one reason. He has revealed himself to us in irrefutable ways." David, I hate to be blunt, but your dishonesty has forced my hand. You are a liar. God has never revealed himself to the world in any irrefutable way, because if he had, there wouldn't be a single non-Christian on the planet. You believe in God because you are terrified that the threats in the Bible may be true. The fact that you refuse to admit this makes it no less true. David said, "Your propaganda sources would have you believe that today's modern world is no different than the brutally violent world of the Middle Ages, that every Christian is a violent Grand Inquisitor waiting to happen." David, my sources tell me that the world is different because modern humans have civilized Christians and taken away many of their barbaric and inhuman practices. Unfortunately, there is still much more civilizing that needs to be done before you people can be considered modern or civilized. For instance, killing abortion doctors, bombing clinics, attacking homosexuals, and in Africa, using the Bible to justify the same crap you barbarians were pulling only recently here in the U.S. and in Europe, witch burnings and exorcisms. David said, "The truth is, only about 2% of the population of the USA are atheists, so nobody except themselves really gives a rat's rear end what they think." David, you apparently do. You've spent a lot of time and effort attempting to defend the brutal, murderous monster that you worship as if he were real by ignoring 90% of the Bible. If people don't give a rat's ass what we think, it's because, unlike you, we don't attack others with hate and lies, so they don't need to be worried about what we think. David said, "As I told Dromedary Hump, even after all those million-selling books, movies, documentaries, interviews, and over 500 debates with theologians, the ranks of atheists have doubled from almost none to a tiny handful, about 2%. David, you should check the statistics for Christianity worldwide, but do it on an empty stomach because I would hate to see you lose your lunch. While atheism doubled, Christianity is declining worldwide as people are being freed from the terror of religious threats. Modern science is giving them the courage to stand up against invisible ghosts. The percentages of non-believers in Europe is far higher than in America, which might explain why they have been at peace since World War II, and America has rarely been without war since then. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. So true, even today. Oh yeah, you call that love. I forgot, words mean whatever you need them to mean. And by the way, you're trying to mislead everyone by claiming that atheists make up only 2%. In America, 75% are Christians. Regardless of what percentage are atheists, the other 25% are all atheistic to your God. David continues, and a few centuries turns out to be 10 to 15 generations of people and the entire life of the second country to ever guarantee freedom of conscience to all its citizens, the USA. The first was the Netherlands. David, where is freedom of conscience guaranteed? He said, it is the primary job of the Christian clergy and Christianity, the religion, to spread the gospel message. David, the Muslims say the same thing, only they are more honest about it than you are. They admit their goal is world domination. David said, the Bible says that Christ cannot return until every person in the world has heard the message and made their decision. David, that's as stupid as everything else in the Bible. How do you propose to spread the message to all those billions who have died without hearing the message? David said, why do you think there is a chaplaincy corps in the military? Well, David, the malignant Christian cancer exists in every corner of our society. Why would it not exist there? He said, many ministers join the military to get the opportunity to spread the gospel message to foreign lands. David, if you had watched the video I referred you to, you would have learned that most proselytizing and complaints about it is directed at our own troops. As I said before, the last thing you are interested in is listening to or watching anything that does not tell you what you want to hear. And by the way, the military is forbidden from proselytizing in foreign lands. You would have learned that had you bothered to watch the video. He says, I think it is both inappropriate and dangerous to attempt to undermine the social structure of a foreign country, especially countries that are vulnerable. Yet, David, that is precisely what our military clergy are doing. David says, a true atheist is someone who rejects God, usually for reasons that have nothing to do with religion. David, you are not in a position as a ghost worshiper to make that statement. As an atheist, I am in a position, so here goes. Atheists reject God for reasons that only have to do with religion. Specifically, the fact that none of them can produce one shred of evidence that their superstitions are true, combined with the scientific fact which proves that their ancient scriptures are pure crapola. David said, how many atheists are aware that the humanist movement was originally founded by Marxist communists? That even though they deny the Bible, nearly all of them were immersed in the religious wash of Western civilization, and even though they deny the connection, they still claim the same moral high ground and base their moral codes on the same basic religious principles, such as the Golden Rule. They claim that morality evolved like everything else, yet they can't explain why everyone did not evolve into the same morality. David, why would they have to explain something that doesn't need explaining? It is nonsense to think that everyone would come to the same moral conclusions. He said, in fact, they can't come up with a single society that ever adopted a code of ethical conduct or morality that was not based on a religious framework. David, the proof that you are wrong is in your own U.S. Constitution. Currently, Christian ghost worshippers are engaged in an all-out assault on our Constitution, and they are attempting to rewrite history by claiming we were founded as a Christian nation, when nothing could be further from the truth. It is clear to me that you are one of those who are spreading lies about our founding history. I could give you links to the debate, but we both already know that it would be a waste of time. Anyone who could read a constitution that contains not one single mention of the word God and still claim that the founders meant to include him but just forgot is beyond any rational hope. David said, "Still more nonsense propaganda." David, that has become your standard response when you don't have an argument. He said, "You never have met me and don't know anything about me or what I have read or not read." David, I hope to spare myself the agony of ever having to meet you or know anything more about you than I already know. I have learned some things about what you have not read. For instance, the Bible, a dictionary, and books on logic. He said, but I can tell by the way you misrepresent Christians in the Bible that you are using the same tired old cliches of the anti-religious propagandists that you found when you were looking for justification for your own poor choices. David, the only one who is misrepresenting the Bible is you. Remember when you said, appear to stop in the sky? I would say that spending your entire adult life talking to invisible ghosts is a pretty poor choice. When I think of what you could have accomplished with all that time, I wonder if maybe you might have had a shot at becoming rational. Now I'm the one engaging in wishful thinking. David said, instead of actually doing the research, you follow the propaganda hook, line, and sinker. David, now you are just throwing it back. You have proven to Dromedary Hump and myself that research is not your strong point, and following the propaganda hook, line, and sinker describes blindly following biblical dogma, not scientific evidence. David said, the institutionalized atheism of Nazism, fascism, and Marxist communism has been more brutal, more repressive, more genocidal than all the religions of the world throughout history put together. David, once again, you just make up anything that you want to be true. I guess that is to be expected from an adult who still retains childish beliefs in an invisible boogeyman who can hurt you after you die. The smartest day of your life was the day you were born, when you knew nothing, because in the meantime, you have learned only useless, false crap that has taken you further and further from the truth. David said, that's why the common denominator between them is religious persecution on a scale never known before. David, religious persecution is almost always carried out by ghost worshippers. He said, are you really so naive as to not recognize that their ultimate goal is to knock down our own social structure? Well, David, naive is my middle name. He said, the new atheists are the missionaries. David, I know how much you hate dictionaries since the words never come out the way you need them to, but here goes. Missionary, a person who travels attempting to spread a religion or a creed. David, what part of the word religious are you having trouble understanding? Then he says, the belief that there is nothing true that cannot be proven with scientific evidence is the definition of naturalism. I'm not stupid. David, normally I try to respect people's feelings when they show at least a modicum of honesty. You do not, so I am going to once again be blunt. You are one of the stupidest people I have ever debated. Beating up on your arguments was about as difficult as winning a karate match against a one-armed, deaf and dumb mongoloid midget. Yes, you are stupid. Amazingly stupid. But stupidity can be fixed. Dishonesty is quite another matter. Then he said, I don't believe things without proof. David, now you are beyond the wildest extreme of stupid. Of all the things you could have said, I don't think anything could top that one. I can understand how you might put up an argument over being called stupid, but to make the statement that you don't believe things without proof requires a total denial of reality and the IQ of a syphilitic spider. He said, and I don't know anyone else who does either. David, now you've just admitted that you have never attended church. David said, the fact that you choose to deny the evidence. David, what are we doing again? That's right, throwing it back. The accusation that believers deny the evidence is true. Since you cannot defend against that accusation because it is true, you attempt to defend yourself by throwing the accusation back at your accuser in an attempt to distract the audience or accuser. that only works on other believers who are as feebly endowed mentally as you are. David said, and choose to associate yourself with idiot sycophants on either side of this artificial aisle the new atheists have created is really not our problem. David, the new atheists have not created an artificial aisle. They have exposed the hate and lies that fuel the Christian faith. He said, of course I would read it. Just like I've read Barker, Clarkson, Dawkins, Donini, Ehrman, Flew, Graves, Greenway, Harris, Hayes, Hitchens, Hume, Mills, and Ramsburg. Atheists all. I'm always interested to find out the real reasons why people give up on God and when they give up on religion. David, you just gave a perfect example of why it is a waste of time to try to help terrorize Christians escape the matrix. No matter how much they read or what evidence they are shown, they simply do not have the courage to take the risk that the threats in the Bible might be true. You might as well have read those books in Yiddish, since your mind was locked tightly shut the whole time. As much as I hate to say it, there simply is no hope for people like you. The fear is too deeply ingrained in your psyche. David said, you know that's nonsense, Neo. If you read my book, you'll discover that I challenge some long-standing beliefs of Christianity, the religion. I know, David, you already challenged long-standing Christian beliefs like slavery and eternal damnation. You challenged those beliefs that show your God for what he is, an inhuman, brutal, murdering monster that has promised to torture billions of humans for all eternity. But take note, I wasn't the one who determined that description of your God. That description was determined by his own confessions in his autobiography. David said, one of them in the erroneous belief that people can be talked into becoming anything other than hypocrites without sufficient proof. If the proof was as invisible to me as it is to you, which it was for a number of years, I wouldn't and didn't believe any of it either. The only difference is that I wouldn't arrogantly assume that you were the only one who was blind and deluded. David, I didn't arrogantly assume that you are blind and deluded. It was your own statements that prove that you are blind and deluded. David gives definitions for dogmatic, dogmatism, and dogma, which I will not bore you with. And then he says, my beliefs are neither unwarranted nor arrogant nor insufficiently examined. Are yours? David, a cave rat. You are as blind to your own traits as a cave rat. David, my final word. While I thoroughly enjoyed brutalizing your beliefs, I have given you much more time than your ignorance deserves. You can email me if you wish, but I will not be reading them because I simply don't have the time. There are just too many other victims out there that need my attention. I don't wish you luck because people like you are retarding the advancement of civilization. If we lived 250 years ago, I have no doubt that I would have been tied to a stake and you would be flinging a match at my feet. You people are barbaric, dishonest, disgusting, hate-filled excuses for human beings. The only hope the human race has to avoid extinction is that your DNA gets destroyed by a virus that seeks out malignant cancers. Since you are anxiously awaiting death so you can be with Jesus, I wish you a speedy granting of your wish. 3 weeks after this email exchange, David sent me an email which I could tell was very long by the number of kilobytes it contained. As I had told him, I did not have any more time to devote to his nonsense, so I deleted it unread. All his time and effort went for nothing. But the more interesting thing is that David had earlier whined about email being sent to his business address, so I stopped sending it there once I was told not to. I hadn't been aware that it was a problem. So David invests 3 weeks of effort into finding out my personal email address in order to send his email to me. Why would anyone go to that much trouble to send an email which would never be read to a different address? When I figure out how these troubled minds work, I'll be sure to let you all know. The email address incident shows that David Julian is a very unstable individual, and that he is the very definition of the word hypocrite. And the saddest part is that he is completely oblivious to his own hypocrisy. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, hyperfast star was booted from the Milky Way. 100 million years ago, a triple star system was traveling through the bustling center of our Milky Way galaxy when it made a life-changing misstep. The trio wandered too close to the galaxy's giant black hole, which captured one of the stars and hurled the other two out of the Milky Way. Adding to the stellar game of musical chairs, the two outbound stars merged to form a super-hot blue star. This story may seem like science fiction, but astronomers using NASA's Hubble Space Telescope say it is the most likely scenario for a so-called hypervelocity star, known as HE 0437-5439, one of the fastest ever detected. It is blazing across space at a speed of 1.5 million miles an hour, 3 times faster than our sun's orbital velocity in the Milky Way. Hubble observations confirm that the stellar speedster hails from the Milky Way's core, settling some confusion over where it originally called home. Most of the roughly 16 known hypervelocity stars, all discovered since 2005, are thought to be exiles from the heart of our galaxy. But this Hubble result is the first direct observation linking a high-flying star to a galactic center origin. The stellar outcast is already cruising in the Milky Way's distant outskirts, high above the galaxy's disk, about 200,000 light years from the center. By comparison, the diameter of the Milky Way's disk is approximately 100,000 light years. Using Hubble to measure the runaway star's direction of motion and determine the Milky Way's core as its starting point, Brown and Needham's team calculated how fast the star had to have been ejected to reach its current location. There's another twist to this story. Based on the speed and position of HE 0437-5439, the star would have to be 100 million years old to have journeyed from the Milky Way's core. Yet its mass, 9 times that of our sun, and blue color mean that it should have burned out after only 20 million years, far shorter than the transit time it took to get to its current location. The most likely explanation for the star's blue color and extreme speed is that it was part of a triple star system that was involved in a gravitational billiard ball game with the galaxy's monster black hole. This concept for imparting an escape velocity on stars was first proposed in 1988. The theory predicted that the Milky Way's black hole should eject a star about once every 100,000 years. Brown suggests that the triple star system contained a pair of closely orbiting stars and a third outer member also gravitationally tied to the group. The black hole pulled the outer star away from the tight binary system. The doomed star's momentum was transferred to the stellar twosome, boosting the duo to escape velocity from the galaxy. The more massive companion evolved more quickly, puffing up to become a red giant. It enveloped its partner and the two stars spiraled together, merging into one superstar, a blue straggler. While the blue straggler story may seem odd, you do see them in the Milky Way, and most stars are in multiple systems. The team is trying to determine the homes of 4 other unbound stars, all located on the fringes of the Milky Way. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Cameroon, Africa. The topic, breast ironing. Affecting 1 out of every 4 girls, the brutal practice of breast ironing is on the rise in the African country of Cameroon. The procedure, which involves the flattening of a young girl's growing breasts with hot stones, coconut shells, or other objects, is considered a way to curb the country's staggering number of teenage pregnancies, particularly high in rural areas, as well as limit the risk of sexual assault. According to a new report by Current TV, Cameroonian mothers believe breast ironing will protect their daughters from becoming pregnant and being assaulted in that it will postpone their development and men will not be enticed by their breasts. With dietary habits in the country improving, girls are beginning to hit puberty as young as 9 and are subject to the practice around the same age. Though only limited medical research has been done on the practice, Cameroonian women say breast ironing can lead to numerous physical issues, such as burns and deformations, not to mention psychological problems. The procedure has been compared to the custom of female circumcision. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Sherlock Holmes, the fictional character created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, born 1859, died 1930 at the age of 71. Conan Doyle was a Scottish physician and writer, most noted for his stories about the detective Sherlock Holmes, which are generally considered a major innovation in the field of crime fiction, and for the adventures of Professor Challenger. He was a prolific writer whose other works include science fiction stories, historical novels, plays and romances, poetry, and nonfiction. And now for the quote from Sherlock Holmes. It is a capital mistake to theorize before one has data. Insensibly, one begins to twist facts to suit theories, instead of theories to suit facts.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.